Welcome to Second Shift. Amen. Amen. Second Shift gets double time or double blessing. You know, and if you're having trouble sleeping at night, maybe you're on third shift. Maybe you should just get out of bed and start praying.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And see what God does. Maybe God's just lonely. He wants you to talk to him at night. Amen. Glory to God. I appreciated that message on repentance this morning. Wednesday, I taught on Israel and what's going on in Israel according to the Bible. You realize that we could be in the middle of World War III because all of these Arab nations want to come against Israel. They don't even know why. There's just a hatred that they have. And then it's in the same place that the Battle of Armageddon is going to be fought. And so continue to pray for Israel. You know, what's such a wonderful thing is that we record all these messages on YouTube, and so we have them in the refrigerator in case you just want another snack or you want to give this information to somebody else. We have an opportunity to do that. We need to take advantage of it. While you're standing, if you turn to 1 Peter, the first chapter, starting at verse number 9, it says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. So the prophets in the Old Testament longed to have what we have today, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. This is such revelation. The Spirit of Christ was in the prophets of old. Amen. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. It's just hard to believe that the angels are in heaven. They see all of these things. They see Christ, and yet they're envious of us. That should tell us something. Glory to God. Amen. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind to be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Christ. As obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And then if you turn to Romans chapter 13 and verse number 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Lord, we ask your anointing and blessing upon your word. Make it alive. Let it be as fresh as it was penned. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Galatians 3 and 27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now we know that God is in us when we're filled with the Holy Ghost. And first Colossians 1 and 27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we understand that God is living inside of us. We never should feel like God could possibly leave us because God has taken up residency in us when we're filled with the Holy Ghost. But what does it mean to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? The word put here means to be covered as with clothing or a position. So according to the scriptures, Jesus is as a covering on us, which gives us rank or position. Because we have the Holy Ghost, we automatically have rank or position. God is leaning towards our words more than anybody else. That position ultimately gives us power or gives us an anointing. Now, you might think that anointing is just for the preacher, just for those who minister in music. But the prerequisite being that we make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So the anointing is contingent about how we live. The idea is that the covering of Christ, like clothing, can be removed based on what we allow to happen within our lives. So if you covet that position, that rank, that anointing, we have to come out from among them and be separate. If we mingle ourselves with the rest of the world and do what the world does, I'm sorry, the covering isn't there, the position, the rank, the anointing is not there. So the covering and the position doesn't come until we have had our sins completely washed away. And this covering is like the mantle of the prophets in the Old Testament. It represented an anointing on those prophets. The term mantle, as used in the Bible, refers to a garment that covered the wearer or the person who had the anointing for protection and identified him as the prophet. The Holy Ghost identifies us as the children of God. Amen. There's an anointing on us, not only in church services, folks, but all the time, wherever we are. Whenever God says, you're the ambassador, I want you to do something, the anointing is on you. I mean, how many times have we come across a situation where somebody needed prayer and God asked us to intervene and there was this anointing that we felt? When we put on Christ, we put on the mantle of God, which protects us like the garment of Elijah and Elisha from the elements and identifies us as the real believer. So there wasn't any question who the prophets were of the Old Testament because there was a mantle on them. Now, if you'll take note, the spiritual mantle can only be put on through a person's character and lifestyle. And there are some who think that you can have the anointing without the lifestyle or the character, but it's on only those people who pull themselves away from those things in the world. There are three godly attributes that must be present to receive this mantle. There's humility, servanthood, and sacrifice. Says nothing about talent. Says nothing about abilities, says nothing about education, doesn't say anything about your rank or where you've come from. Of course, the devil has his own false mantle, which is in direct contrast to the true anointing of God. And the scriptures describe people with self-appointed positions who do not have that mantle of God as, people who are in error. You can't self-appoint yourself to any position in the kingdom of God. Amen. I've been around people who have decided I'm going to do this, but they don't have any authority over them, and God can't bless that. If you'll go to Jude, verse number 3, it says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So there's going to be some contention. There's going to be some, there's going to be some war in order to keep the anointing. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's some people who had truth and had anointing, but they forfeited it. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. So it's not once saved, always saved. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." It said that they have gone the way of Cain. It goes on to say, "Woe unto them," verse 11, "for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor." So we find these people went the way of Cain or self-will, the heir of Balaam, a ministry for hire, greed, or lust, and the rebellion of Korah, people who started out with a mantle. That's every one of us. We're filled with the Holy Ghost for a purpose, giving us power. I, like most of you, came into the church thinking I could never live this way. And then you're filled with the Holy Ghost, which gives us the power, according to Ezekiel 36 and 26, causing us to want to walk in his statutes. Without that power, without that mantle, without that anointing, you know, it's very difficult to live a life for God, because we have to live the life according to his word. Now, let's look at how Elijah received the mantle from Elijah. If you'll turn to 2 Kings, chapter 2, starting in verse number 1. I know this is a familiar scripture. It says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." Would you say Gilgal? Gilgal. "And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." Say Bethel. "And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel." So here's the prophet's servant saying, "I'm not leaving you from Bethel." "And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho." Say Jericho. "And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. He wasn't going to leave them at Jericho. "And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan." Say Jordan. "And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they too went on. He wasn't going to leave them from Jordan. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now the word heaven there means into the clouds or the sky, not the heaven as we know it. And Elijah saw it and cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. So here's the thing that happened when one prophet was leaving and another prophet was coming. You'll see here that Elijah followed Elijah to four locations to receive the mantle or to receive the anointing. And these locations are significant because we have to stop at each one of them, and we can't leave because of problems that we're having. And each of these locations are significant to how we receive the position and the covering. Elijah followed Elijah first to Gilgal. And the name Gilgal means beginning point of commitment. There has to be a beginning point of commitment for each and every one of us. Gilgal is first mentioned in the book of Joshua. And there, Joshua was going to go into the promised land, but he recognized that the people were not circumcised. In other words, they couldn't enter into the promised land at that point because they weren't circumcised. And as Joshua was preparing the children of Israel to enter in, the people were getting ready, but he recognized they weren't ready as yet. The young men were not yet sealed with their sign of commitment to God, and they were not circumcised, and Joshua realized he could not lead them into a promised land unless they were circumcised. And of course, our first step to receiving our mantle, our covering, our anointing is to stop at Gilgal and be circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, which is baptism in Jesus' name. Can't enter in. You have good intentions. I want to be faithful, but I'm sorry, you can't enter in. It's not enough for young people to live off the crumbs of their parents. The church can't live off the pastor's commitment or the ministry's commitment. We all must have a Gilgal, a beginning point, a commitment, a baptism in Jesus' name that gives us, well, an entry point into the kingdom of God. A place where the reproach of Egypt or the world is rolled away. And then we can walk into the kingdom of God because we have access. Elijah's commitment was seen in his willingness to leave the plow and the oxen and the family. He was a very wealthy individual. And many times when we get to that place at Gilgal, we have to put aside some things, maybe jobs or belongings or family. Each of us recognize there is a sacrifice and a commitment in order to enter into the kingdom of God. A type of our own ambitions and desires in order to follow God. How much do you love me? You know, it's the Abraham who was asked to sacrifice his son. And when he was willing to do that, the thing that he loved most in this life, God said, now I know. You love me more. And I believe that every one of us will be tested. How much do you love me? See, no one can take the mantle without first committing himself to God fully. An anointing ministry begins with a total commitment, and a revival church begins with a total commitment. I'm going to live for God. This is not a part-time position, folks. Glory to God. If it is in your life, then you're going to be miserable because you can't be really totally satisfied in the church or totally satisfied in the world. So you're caught between two worlds, you see. The second location Elijah followed, Elijah, was Bethel. And the name Bethel means the house of God and seat of worship. Jesus said in Matthew 21 and 13, my house shall be called the house of prayer or worship. Every anointed ministry is rooted in prayer and worship. And according to Matthew 6 and 9, our petitions and requests can't be made to God without first worshiping God. We have to bring a sacrifice to Him. Every anointed church must first have worship and prayer. It's the order of our service. We don't have the Word of God first. We have worship and prayer first. The principles are the same as rain. If you don't send something up, you're not going to get something coming down, you know? Job 36 and 27 says, for he maketh small the drops of water, they pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, or what ascends from the body of water. And that's us, folks. We worship, we pray, and then God rewards us with blessings that come down. God's blessings and spirit falls from heaven as we send things up. Little worship, little rain. Little prayer, little blessings. Much worship, much prayer, much rain, much anointing, much blessing. All are essential if we want a mantle of God thrown over our shoulders. It's a wonderful thing that we don't have to work up the presence of God. That as you're driving to work, all you have to do is talk to God and you feel the mantle drop on us. Amen. The third location Elijah followed Elijah to was Jericho. It means in Hebrew, place of fragrance. We were in the city of Jericho some years ago, and it's a tropical paradise, and we saw fruits and flowers that aren't grown any other place in the world. It was a place where Israel entered into the promised land. But it was also the place of the first battle. They didn't have to fight anything when they were in the wilderness. You didn't have to fight anything before you were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. But if you really want to enter into the kingdom, the realm of God, you're going to enter in at Jericho, and there's going to be some walls, and there's going to be some fighting. The blessings and promises of God were evident by the fragrance in the air, but it was the first place that they had to fight to keep those blessings. Sometimes we must fight to keep the blessings, to stay in the blessings of God. At this third location, we realize that there will be some battles in our spiritual walk with God. It shocks a lot of people when they first come into church because they feel that God is just going to put them in a cocoon and they won't have any problems at all. You know, money will fall from heaven and No more sickness, no more problems. Relatives will all love us for the commitment we made. But through those challenges, there is a beautiful fragrance of the Holy Ghost to God. Even though through the sacrifice and suffering, the vessels must first be broken before the fragrance can fill the air like the alabaster box. Genesis 7 and 11 says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day, were all of the fountains of the deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. There have to be some things broken up before the windows of heaven are open. You'll see, the windows of heaven cannot be opened until the fountains of the deep are broken up, and from time to time, we're going to have to be broken. If you'll notice that if you read about the men and women of God, there isn't one that hadn't had to go through some trials and some tribulations and situations that actually make them stronger. It makes us stronger as well. Ask someone if they've had situations in their life that cause anguish and hurt and pain and grief. Every one of us have gone through those situations. But, you know, God has become actually closer to us because we brought us through it. He's prepared a table in the presence of our enemies. Sometimes we get to that place of sobbing like a baby because battles and circumstances, yes, you now have pulled into the Jericho station. It's what has to happen. It's the next place, you see. We many times have to descend to the deepest depths of sometimes trouble and pain and sacrifice and brokenness to discover an unleashing of God's tremendous demonstration of God's Spirit and power. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, hey, I've got this hurt, God, and I've been asking you three times if you could take this from me. I have healed many. I have seen the demonstrations and the power of God, but could you just take this away? And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then he goes on to say, when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. Now, we sometimes act on God's promises when we feel good. But maybe it should be when, God, am I going to make it at all? When God allows pain and sacrifice and suffering to touch our lives, once the cloud of these situations have lifted, God then comes and replaces pain with anointing. Brokenness is a prerequisite to that anointing. I'm sorry, I have to say that. But it's true. Oh God, give me a ministry. I want to do great things for you, God. Okay. Are you going to follow me here? Follow me there? Follow me over here? Before the 5,000 could be fed, the bread had to be broken and blessed. When Manoah and his wife saw the angel of the Lord, he cried out, we shall surely die because we have seen God, in Judges 13 and 22. He understood in the Bible days that no man could actually see the Lord and live to tell about it. And this still is the case today. No man who has seen the revelation of the mighty God in Jesus can live. We must die out to the flesh. As we do, we then become dead to all of the things that follow us around and temptations that we have to overcome. So when we see that revelation of who God is and how great he is, then we recognize those things don't have a grip on us any longer. We can reject them. Persecutions don't bother us. Even hatred doesn't. And then we take the mantle and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, because we've made no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. No retaliations, you see. We must have skin as tough as an alligator, and mine's starting to look like that. But our hearts have to be tender and sensitive to God at all times. You have to have a good forgetter. There's some things I want to remember, but there's some things I want to forget. The crushing events of life that we experience at Jericho are what releases the flow of the anointing that everyone around us can smell. I've been in conferences all over the world, and I've heard great preaching from great men who have great churches and great reputations and evangelists and missionaries. But there's something about somebody who doesn't think they're anybody that comes to the pulpit, and you see the Shekinah glory of God touch their lives, and God steals the show. God's instructed Moses to mix the incense to worship. There is no substitute for this true anointing. You can go to seminar after seminar. Every month I get some kind of bulletin that there's going to be a seminar on church growth and worship and so forth. But you can copy how a person sings and plays the instruments. But that's what it is. Or how someone preaches the word. You can copy how someone leads a service or ministers to others. But that will never bring the anointing based on just following a program. You have to follow the steps to certain cities. That can only come through brokenness at Jericho. Glory to God. The last stop and final resting place was Jordan. The name Jordan means descender. Jordan represents that place where the mantle descends from heaven upon our life, where Elijah saw Elijah's mantle fall from the chariot upon him. He followed him around. He was a servant. He poured water on his hands. He made the meals for him. Now here's a man who had wealth. He had fame. But he burned his plow and got rid of his oxen and said, I'm going to follow you. Jordan represents that place where that mantle descended upon his servant, where Elisha saw Elijah's mantle fall from the chariot of fire. And as he put it on, he fell and he felt the power where the Holy Ghost flows in our daily life, where it falls on a city with the force of a hurricane as a result of intense praise and prayer. Wednesday night, we had a move of God here. There were people up at the altar for a long time. We were interceding for Israel. We were putting things aside in our life to pray for something that we know that God would love. He said, I will bless those that bless me and curse those that curse me. And the winds of heaven opens up and pours out a blessing that there isn't any room to contain, because we're willing to stop at Jordan, you see, and wait for the descending of God's power upon each and every one of us.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. I've experienced this on I don't know how many occasions in my own ministry. I remember, I think we were pastoring for 3 years. Things were starting to go well, I thought. And at that point, our entire church board left. The only organist that we had left. And I was sitting at my desk at home, putting together a message for a youth conference that I was going to preach that Saturday morning at Green Lake, Wisconsin. And I heard a knock on the door. And my assistant pastor was there, and he said, I don't want to talk. I'm just telling you I'm leaving. And at that point, I thought my whole world was collapsing. God, I know it's your church, but I feel the responsibility for this. And I remember sitting at my desk after he left and thinking, God, how in the world am I supposed to minister to somebody else when I feel like I've just been run over by a truck? I remember finishing this little message. I can't even remember what it was, but I remember getting there. I had to get up early in the morning, my wife and I, and we got there, and it was 9 o'clock, and I was scheduled to preach, and I opened my Bible, and there was a power of God. I felt like I could levitate everyone in that room, and everyone was focused on what I was saying. I had a line of pastors after it was over asking me, can you come to my church? Can you come to my church? See, what they didn't recognize, it wasn't me. It was the mantle that fell on me because I was broken. And God had it in hand, but I remind God all the time, this is not my church, this is your church, God. You know, and forgive me, you probably heard this story as well, but it's a part of my life. We were invited to preach a Bible graduation in Nigeria, and we stopped in Paris, and we were preaching for the Novakis, and just before I stepped to the pulpit, I got a call from my daughter and said my dad had died in an accident. And again, I'm thinking, God, how can I go on? You know, do I just say, hey, Brother Numeke, I'm not up to the task. And do I cancel the rest of the trip to go to Nigeria and preach this Bible school graduation? But again, as low as I was, I remember standing and having that mantle of God fall on me. This supernatural anointing had nothing to do with my abilities, but had everything to do with, I'm just going to follow you to the next city. It's not by accident that we must follow the same path that Elijah had to follow Elisha. To put on the Lord Jesus Christ, each of us must make four stops at four cities. Gilgal, the beginning of the commitment, which is baptism. Bethel, house of God, praise and worship, where we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Jericho, a place of fragrance, but a place of sacrifice and suffering. And then Jordan, a place where God descends because of some of the battles that we go through. The question is, have you made the trip? Are you willing to continue in the journey? Or do you just want to stop at the beginning? I've seen lots of people come in. They're so excited about the freedom we have in worship and all of that. And yet, they don't continue to Bethel. They take one step, but then the next step is too hard. I love what the prophet said. Hey, listen, you're not going to get rid of me. I'm going to follow you. And you need to make that same commitment to God. It doesn't matter. I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to leave you, God. I need the anointing in my life. You're going to help me through it all. We can't skip a city and still get the covering. Amen. Hallelujah. The prophet was taken up in the clouds from Jordan. He wasn't taken up from Bethel. He wasn't taken up from Gilgal. He wasn't taken up from Jericho. He was taken up from the descending place of Jericho. And you know what? God's not going to take us up from just being baptized or just filled with the Holy Ghost. We're going to have to go through some battles. We're going to have to go through some situations within our life. And then one day we'll be taken up in the air just like Elijah was taken up in the air. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The same is true for each and every one of us. Amen. Glory to God. Well, Pastor, I don't need that kind of anointing. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You want to be effective for God? You know, if we went through our week feeling the same way we feel when we're worshiping God here and the power of God is all over, we'd never have to worry about temptation. We'd never have to worry about faithfulness. We never have to worry about all of those things that come against us, because that constant anointing of God's power is on us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've got power that you can't see. Jesus is living inside of me. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Over the years, I've talked to new converts, and I've simply laid out a formula for them, and that is one day at a time. Just one day at a time. If you're planning 5 years in advance, you may never get there. Remember teaching a Bible study to a husband and wife that were... We had a clock store in the 1880s village, and I taught several of the store owners Bible studies. But this one couple, they were so excited. And I mean, 2 weeks after they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they were going to sell everything they had, buy a trailer, and evangelize. They're barely out of Gilgal. And it doesn't happen that way, folks. It's a process. What do I have to do in order to get a double portion? Well, just follow me. That's all God is saying. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?